and thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer. And for this episode, we're talking to Alan Williams about his book, The Values Economy, How to Deliver Purpose-Driven Service-Sustained Performance. Now, Alan Williams coaches progressive leaders of service sector organisations internationally and in the UK. He is a published author and speaker whose products have delivered measurable business results across the Balance Scorecard and been recognised with industry awards. His latest book, The Values Economy, is co-authored with Samuel Williams as well. So about the book. The exponential rate of change and disruption in the world means that traditional organisation structure-led approach is no longer fit for purpose. In the book, the authors explain how the three primary influences of choice, communication, and control have created a new paradigm that they refer to as the values economy. Leaders of organisations can survive and thrive in this brave new world by implementing a tried and tested, detailed methodology which can be applied in any setting and industry. The core principle is alignment, with a specific focus on the areas of brand identity, employee engagement, and customer experience. This helps to establish a sense of shared values with all stakeholders and equips the organisation with the agility needed to deliver sustained performance in a dynamic business environment where disruption is the new normal. The authors combined baby boomer and Gen Z perspectives provide a compelling and irresistible blend of sharp insight, operational know-how and pragmatic hopefulness, bringing the theory to life with a range of case studies from different sectors, sizes and stages of maturity. So today we're talking to Alan Williams about how workplace plays a more important role in supporting the core business than you might think. So now over to Alan.
Workplace. Annie Dillard said, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. Work forms a major part of adult life. It serves a vast spectrum of human needs, from providing the resources for shelter and security to the self-value and self-actualization that people feel when they do something meaningful. It's also become a social norm for career to be tied to personal identity. And many people are actually defined by their careers. Just consider how many of your waking hours you spend at work or doing work, and compare this to the time that you spend with your partner or family. The office building is the most tangible reflection of a profound change in employment patterns that have happened over the last 100 years. And there are signs that the impact of COVID-19 might be creating another long-term shift. In present-day America, Northern Europe and Japan, at least 50% of the working population is employed in office settings, compared to 5% at the beginning of the 20th century. You just have to look at the skylines of any major city to see how this has had an impact. Contrasted with this is the past 30 years, where there's been an almost silent revolution in the office workplace. Because it's only when you take time to look back to the 1980s and before that, that the magnitude of the difference is evident. Think of a world at work with typewriters, fax and telex machines, hardwired phones, and no mobile phones or laptops or Wi-Fi or voice over internet protocol. Technology has enabled a different approach in workplaces because it's provided convenience, connectivity, and freedom of movement for many employees. And now people often complain that the technology they use personally is better, faster, has more memory, lighter than the equipment they are provided with at work. As a result of these changes, more people than ever want and expect flexible work arrangements. This is a big shift for the corporate real estate and facilities management function who provide the office services, because psychologically, it's like the difference between going to school where attendance is required versus visiting a shopping centre where there's an online option available. The service brand is very helpful in considering the area of workplace. And today, I'm going to look at the five elements of the service brand approach: brand identity, employee engagement, customer experience, systems and processes, and finally, measurement and insight. So let's start with brand identity. Well, buildings are highly visible representations of the brand identity of an organization. This can be at a basic level. Just look at the buildings as billboard skyline of Hong Kong and other cities. Or at a more sophisticated level, Bloomberg's European headquarters in London was created as an exemplar of sustainable design that would endure and improve the surrounding City of London public realm. Similarly, Microsoft's new Silicon Valley campus will make a statement about the organization's embodiment of innovation. Both examples make a strong public statement to all stakeholders about what these organizations value. Employees, visitors, and the local community have perceptions about an organization based on the external appearance of the office building. And continuing inside the building, the organization's brand and values are reinforced or detracted from with the design of the space, the range and level of facilities and services provided, and the behavior of the people delivering these services. And if you're wondering how this can be, consider this example. A utility company has a core value of our environment. And in the annual report, the chairman is quoted as saying that we will exceed local environmental regulations wherever we operate in the world. And we take the stewardship of our planet seriously, and we are striving every day to improve our contribution. At the same time, this company has hot beverage machines in their offices, which use virtually indestructible foil sachets. The senior directors drive gas-guzzling company cars. There's a culture of using copies of printed full-color documents. And cleaning takes place at night, which needs the building lights to be on. How well is your organization living up to its brand and its values through the way that it delivers office services to employees? The next element of the service brand approach is employee engagement. And in a corporate real estate or facilities management situation, this element of the service brand approach applies to everybody who is involved in delivering the facilities and services. This can be a mix of people who are employed directly by the organization and other people employed by either a single service partner organization or several different companies for the different services such as security, reception, cleaning, catering, and others. As you can imagine, this outsourced service delivery model adds a whole level of complexity, which the service brand approach simplifies, because it considers the team who deliver the service as a whole and ignores the fact that different employees might be employed by different companies. The core principle here is that a customer does not care what company name is on the service employee's paycheck or name badge. And when the service team is considered in this way, it raises some interesting points. At a cultural and values level, which organization's values need to be lived by the employees delivering the service? Is it the values of their employer, or is it the values of the organization that they're representing? Similarly, as you can imagine, different companies will operate in different ways. It might be that the security company, the reception services company, and the catering company are all delivering customer service training to their employees. But if these are different programs, then the service to the end customer might not feel joined up. And here, there's an opportunity to consider shared training programs and other operating processes. The next element is customer experience. And in a workplace context, customer experience is provided at different levels. So first, the corporate real estate or facilities management function is seeking to support the core business at a strategic level. An example of this might be where the organization is growing and the human resources function is tasked with recruiting many new employees. In this situation, the human resources, or sometimes called people and culture, director is the customer, and the corporate real estate or facilities management function might advise options for new offices, their locations, recruitment facilities, and a recommendation for working practices. The function also provides service at a day-to-day management level. Imagine if the sales director has an aggressive sales strategy involving hosting prospective clients for hospitality and presentations. Here, the corporate real estate or facilities management function might invest in personal impact training for the service employees to make sure visitors receive an impressive experience of the organization to increase the chance of making a successful sale. And then finally, at a day-to-day delivery level, the corporate real estate or facilities management function is responsible for delivering the appropriate facilities and services in the office to all the employees and visitors. I come from a hospitality background. And an interesting dynamic that I observed when I started to work in workplace was that the starting point is often the built environment. In addition, the function often reports through to finance, and there is a keen focus on cost management. However, the real issue is whether the services and the built environment are helping the employees to perform at their very best. In other words, providing an effective workplace is a way to drive maximum value from or return on the investment in employees. As an example, virtual working might well achieve reduced travel costs. But if this is at the cost of decreased levels of engagement, trust, and collective productivity, then it might not be the best solution. Organizations need office solutions that help to improve culture, connectivity, well-being, and flexibility. And I think corporate real estate and facilities management sectors can learn from shopping centers and holiday resorts in creating a magnetic attraction for employees. After all, without the employees, the building would not be needed. So rather than start with the design of the built environment, in our book, The Values Economy, we suggest that the first questions should be, one, what do we want the employee to experience? And two, how can the amount and design of the space, natural and artificial lighting levels, temperature, noise levels, and air quality enhance this experience and enable better employee performance individually and collectively? As Steve Jobs said, you have to start with the customer experience and work backwards. And we think it's exactly the same for corporate real estate services. Another dimension of customer experience in a workplace environment is the topic of well-being, which has gained traction in the last 3 to 5 years. And organizations are increasingly investing time, energy, and money in this area. The topic covers a spectrum from physical well-being, a diet, hydration, exercise, sleep, and also an array of mental health issues, spiritual well-being, for instance, prayer facilities, employment factors such as pay and working hours, environmental factors like the design, ergonomics, biophilia, air quality, temperature, light and sound, and then social well-being, so interaction and collaboration with colleagues. Facilities management plays a key role because the function delivers so many of these well-being related services and facilities. Another dimension of customer experience is the level of service and range of services provided for the employees. For example, if a large office project is based on the concept of creating a thriving, self-sufficient community, services such as dry cleaning, shoe shine, concierge services, mail delivery, reprographics, and even hairdressing might be provided. If, on the other hand, the office concept is to be a drop-in for employees who are encouraged to work remotely, then it would be fit for a minimum range of services to be provided. The final layer is the style of service delivery. Continuing with these two examples that we've just used, perhaps in the first example, the service would be similar to a good hotel, with a focus on personalized, friendly service delivered by a team in coordinated uniform. In the second example, perhaps it's a more self-service environment, a skeleton service team, an efficient, no-frills style, and a reliance on technology. The fourth element of the service brand approach is systems and processes. At an overarching level, the service brand approach itself provides a system and process to design, deliver, and manage the corporate real estate and facilities management services. Using the framework helps to identify and realize potential synergies and minimize duplication and waste. At a more granular level, the systems and processes element involves aspects such as the communication framework, so a total overview of all types of communication, including the purpose, who the owner is, the audience, the channel, and timing. This can assist in streamlining communications rather than different individual functions operating in isolation. It could even be extended to the creation of a glossary of language so that everybody involved in the delivery of services use common terms. The final element is measurement and insight. And from a corporate real estate services perspective, consider these questions for the elements of the service brand approach. Brand identity. What is the name of the function which is responsible for the physical workspace and the facilities and services delivered to employees? Would employees in an organization know? What's their level of awareness? From an employee engagement perspective, understand how inspired all of the people involved in the service delivery are, rather than allow the service partner organizations to conduct this information request themselves, or even worse, not even do that. For the customer experience, could feedback on the workplace and services be incorporated into the existing employee engagement feedback processes for the organization? This could streamline the collection and processing of the data. And from a systems and processes perspective, to what extent is the feedback collected from the various stakeholder groups about how effective the business systems and processes are? Without such a feedback loop, there's a risk that the systems and processes become an accepted hindrance rather than a support. I've explained how the service brand approach relates to the workplace and how the design of the workplace experience could perhaps be improved by using the service brand lens. More fundamentally, I'd like to leave you with a thought about whether the commercial real estate model is actually still relevant. Traditionally, corporate real estate is owned or more often leased to tenants to conduct business. Buildings are expensive to build and operate, and corporate real estate is usually an organization's second biggest expense after payroll. It takes time to acquire property, and large buildings are often fixed long-term commitments. As a result, decisions are taken carefully and made for the long term. Now, when you think about it, this is a strong counterbalance to the dynamism of the technology sector and has held back the degree to which workplaces have been able to realize the full benefit of the potential agility brought about by technological advancement. The corporate real estate environment is also in stark juxtaposition to the world we live in, where change is not only constant, but accelerating at an exponential rate. This has led to an explosion in interest and investment in finding alternative approaches to the traditional corporate real estate model, with flexible working, virtual working, working styles like agile working and activity-based working and shared workspace solutions. And then we've had COVID-19. Even before the pandemic, the number of people who were working remotely or at home was continuing an upward trajectory. And this is likely to become even steeper now. A PwC survey shows that most CEOs believe that COVID-19 pandemic-driven shifts towards remote collaboration, automation, and fewer people working from offices are here to stay. In summary, in the Values Economy book, we liken the current commercial real estate model in the workplace sector to a hardwired landline telephone in the telecommunications sector. It is no longer fit for purpose because of technological advancement and the dynamic business environment. We wonder what the commercial real estate equivalent to a smartphone will be, and believe this will need to be driven by a quite different approach than the traditional individual productivity agenda. Instead, the focus will be an understanding of the benefits of a group of people enjoying a sense of mutual belonging and interdependence in a carefully designed built environment with related services, which reinforces the organization's brand and values. An organization's workplace is too important a part of its overall service brand to be operated in such an outdated and suboptimal way. How well does your workplace environment and the services provided enhance your organization's brand and values? And what could be done better? Thank you.
Thank you so much to Alan Williams, author of The Values Economy. And thank you everyone for listening as well. Do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and at Lid Business Media on LinkedIn, where you'll get more podcasts from experts such as Alan, as well as book releases, newsletters and other content. See you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.